This podcast is supported by Americans for Medical Progress and was founded and created through the Michael D. Hare Fellowship, awarded annually to support projects that inform and educate the public about the critical role of animal research in furthering medical progress. The fellowship honors the late Dr. Michael Hare, a renowned board-certified laboratory animal veterinarian who dedicated his career to scientific and medical advancements and who was deeply committed to animal welfare and advocacy. Hey, everyone, and welcome in to this month's edition of the News Bite episodes, where Danielle and I really just get together and kind of talk about random stuff, yet somewhat...
Science. There's science involved.
There is. It's very... We try to focus it, obviously, around the world of biomedical research and the use of animals. And if you've listened to any of these at all, you know that we somewhat succeed at that every month. You know, we have at least one good story.
I think I have two today. Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one.
You're really overachieving.
I probably set the bar too high for myself already.
Yeah, so that is our mission here with the News Bite, is just to tell stories and just keep, you know, you guys all informed about different cool stories and research that's being done that requires the use of animals and research and continues to show why animals are 100% necessary for continued advancement of medicine and science and everything else. Well, I guess not everything else. Like engineering probably doesn't require the use of that. But anyways, so I have a couple stories about, one's about a water bear. If you don't know what a water bear is, I'll tell you. They're also called moss piglets. And then I'm also going to talk about some cancer research involving the use of light. So that's what I'm getting into. What do you got?
So since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I actually found a pretty cool article about a potential new treatment coming out of Singapore, and I'll tell you guys about that. And then just the other day, scrolling through, I don't know, Facebook or Instagram, and I came across an article that U.S. surgeons have successfully transplanted a pig kidney into a human for the first time. So I'm going to give some background on that exciting story.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I wish I had like an applaud, like soundbite we could play in the background. That's what we need to get. That's how we need to step it up around here in Live Rat Chats. Have a sound.
Like we have an audience listening to us.
Like if we had a soundboard, we could play funny clips and sound effects.
All right.
So maybe I'll propose that. We can do that moving forward.
I like it.
Speaking of surgeons, I've been a surgeon for the last 3 weeks, basically.
Good for
learning
you.
Learning how to spay and neuter things, which has been exciting.
I don't know about spaying, but I've neutered one thing in my life, and it was easy-ish.
An animal?
Like yeah. Sorry. Yes. An animal. It was in college for a class.
Okay. Just checking. I know you have two kids. You didn't want any more. You didn't know what else you were neutering.
Thank you for clarifying. Yes, I neutered an animal for a class, and then I adopted him, and he was wonderful.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We neutering. I can bust out cat neuters all day. Okay. It's funny. Spays. I don't. Spays are going to be still going to take time. They take a little more
invasive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny to watch the vet. Like all of us students are in there. We get to do like at least one a day, sometimes two a day, and then it takes us a good, you know, hour probably. And then the vet does this every day, does it in less than 10 minutes.
Three minutes, yeah.
Less than 10.
Don't they have like little like crochet needles that you kind of pull up the uterine something?
I guess it is. I mean, I've never crocheted, but it's like a little, it's called a spay hook. Yep.
Okay.
/ crochet hook.
Crochet needle, yep.
Yeah, you kind of put it in there, you spin it around, and you pull out a uterus. Yeah. If you're lucky. Not always.
Oh, God.
You don't always get a uterus.
Don't say where you're doing your rotation, because nobody's going to bring their pets to that vet office right now.
Yeah, you would. It'd be awesome.
You just said if you're lucky.
Well, if you're... It's not like you just pull out like intestine and then you just put it back in. Intestine can come out of the body. You can pull it all out if you want to. You just try not to. So if you hook and you get a little, you know, small intestine on the hook, you just take it off and try again. Which they also make us work with the tiniest incision ever. And so they're like, and my hand's bigger than most people's hands on the rotation. And so like, you know, the girls in there can get their like little hands in there, and they're like, try to feel for the uterus. And I'm like, I can't get my finger through the hole. So we work with very tiny incisions, which is nice because our rate limiting step, I mean, for almost every student is just closing, which I know working with you too on some of those pig surgeries when the medical students were there to help out.
Yeah.
It's just when they close, they're just so slow at suturing.
Yeah, I know. You get like a pro surgeon and they're like, jum, 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 it's done. And then you get the students and it's like, oh God, oh God.
Right. Like, can I just have a staple gun?
Yeah. Please?
But then I guess I'd never learn the proper suturing
right.
technique. And then we have to do a presentation for this. I'm tired of presentations. But so they told us to make it funny. They told us to make our presentations funny, and they were like, they're a blast to work with. The techs and the veterinarians on this rotation are very like outgoing, joking, like, you know, sarcastic, make fun of you type humor, which I enjoy.
Yes.
And so everyone's trying to make an effort to make their presentation funny. I went the complete opposite, and I made my presentation as boring as you possibly can. So I recorded video. I put like, my son gave me reading glasses for my birthday last year because he thought I was getting old and that my eyes were going bad. And I needed glasses to see, which I don't. They hurt my head when I wear them. But I wore them for this. And it was just kind of like a good evening. My name's Jeff Marshall. This is my presentation.
I feel like
so I made it as
really
boring as possible. Yeah. So, and hope that it would be hilarious at the same time.
Nice. So,
anyways, do you want to tell your story first or let me start? You sure?
I'm taking it. Yep. Sorry. I got a little distracted. I want to talk about my article that I found about breast cancer for October. And this is a potential new method to treat triple negative breast cancer, which I guess is one of the worst kinds that people unfortunately have to deal with and battle against. And so out of the National Cancer Center, Singapore and Singapore General Hospital, they've identified a new method to treat this, and they've discovered a way that, well, they identified the way that cancer cells switch between being the less aggressive form to the more aggressive form, less aggressive being called epithelial, more aggressive being called mesenchymal. And they have, they call it BexMET, bexarotene-induced mesenchymal epithelial transition. And they figured out a way to kind of get the cells to go from the aggressive state back to the less aggressive state for this type of cancer so that it will respond better to chemotherapy. Because the more aggressive mesenchymal cells, you know, typically don't respond well. So super promising research that hopefully people who have to battle against breast cancer, this will hopefully be something in the future to kind of, again, make your angry cancer cells slightly less angry so that we can zap them with chemotherapy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Does it just like slow down does it slow down like the growth rate of the cells too?
It switches the kind of cell state. I don't know. Sounds very fancy.
Yeah. I love when we talk about complicated research that
we have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds awesome.
Yeah. So,
and it would be nice if we could get some of these people on the show. I know we promised that. We probably didn't promise it. I'd be hard pressed to promise
we
that.
We hoped really badly that we could last time.
Yeah, but I think just so many.
Well, the time difference between Singapore, right, the time difference between Singapore and here might be hard to get someone from this group on. Then again, I'm up all night with a baby, so I could record at midnight if we need to.
Okay. I'll hold you to it.
Yep.
And then, and last month we talked about a story from, I think it's from Illinois. So trying to get those people on the show. People are just busy and just doing research and I think catching up on a lot of their research that was probably halted during the pandemic and whatnot.
I will say, our university really this fall semester has kicked it into high gear and is getting back to it after the sort of semi-shutdown from the pandemic.
Yeah. So anyways, if you're listening and you're doing incredible research, you know, or mediocre research, whatever. Well, let us know. Be happy to talk about it. So my first story is about a photo-activatable metabolic warhead. That's what the title of the article is called, which intrigued me a little bit. But so they took these light-activated drugs, and they can enter the cells and kill bacterial and cancer cells without harming nearby cells. So it's basically like radiation in a way. But radiation, as we all know, doesn't just target cancerous cells. It also gets all the heart-healthy cells. And this molecule, they've had similar molecules like this before where they can use normal like light to activate it and kill cells, except that previously all of these compounds have been really too big to combine with some other agent that enables it to enter into a cell. So it hasn't really been able to get into the cells, from my understanding. But they found now that this molecule is small enough, they can combine it with a chemical food compound, which the bacteria or cancer cells will ingest. And then once it's inside, then they can just turn their light on. I mean, surgeons can do this, and then it'll kill the cells. So, this is over in Europe. They compare it basically to a Trojan horse and say its effect is similar to a metabolic warhead. And so the cells ingest it. And then when they're ready to activate it, they turn the light on and yeah, exactly. See, again, another use of a soundboard right there. Yes. But hey, I mean,
I can make sound effects.
We can rely on Danielle to make sound effects. Moving forward to the rest of the episode where you see necessary.
I'll pepper them in when I can.
Yeah. So yeah, just another new opportunity out there for, medical type.
Does that article talk about what animal contributed to the preliminary work or not specifically?
It doesn't. I'm going to assume mice. There is a pulp paper.
I would assume that as well.
I had a giant, the actual research paper at some point, which I'm sure talked about it. Actually, it does. It says it was carried out in zebrafish. So they did cell culture.
So it's a submarine warhead.
That's right. It's a torpedo.
Underwater.
Who's talking in the background? Are you walking through a subway?
Yeah.
Right now?
Is it really loud? Sorry.
Yeah. Whatever. Just leave them. Maybe someone can pick up what they're saying and enjoy their conversation more than ours.
All right.
So zebrafish and human cells. So they obviously started, as most projects do, and some human cells, cell lines, cell culture. And then they replaced that cell culture with the animal model to actually study it further. So that's that.
The people who are talking are standing so close to me.
Can you tell them you're trying to do a podcast episode?
Yeah, I know.
And they should walk away.
Here.
Yeah. You have construction going on around you?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So,
we're hiding.
Sorry, everyone, for the background noise, but it's nothing we can do.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you with the noise on my end. Is there more to the warhead story or? No.
For me, no. That's the end of it. Okay. If we were talking to the people doing this research.
Oh, yes, a thousand more questions.
They would have a lot more. Yeah.
So like I said with my next story, scrolling through, I think it was on Facebook, a team in the US has successfully transplanted a pig kidney into a human. Now, there's a slightly sad side to this story. The recipient was already deemed brain dead and they were on artificial life support. But this individual had already made very clear that they wanted to be an organ donor. They wanted to help science. And so the family of the individual gave permission for this to happen. It was a kidney from a genetically modified pig that would stop the organ from being recognized as foreign. So they did a 2-hour procedure, got the kidney in. They also took a piece of, I think it was the thymus. Of course, now I can't find where I'm reading it. Yeah, the pig's thymus, yep. That they thought would kind of help with long-term not being rejected by, it says, mopping up any stray immune cells that might otherwise fight the pig tissue. And they kept the patient on life support, I think it said, for 2 or 3 more days, and everything was a success. The kidney worked and functioned properly. This has not been peer-reviewed. It's only one patient, but it is really promising because this work has been done with pig organs being transplanted into non-human primates, but now we have at least one rather successful case in a human. So kind of something promising to keep your eye on. They mentioned that they're hoping within a decade that pig organs, hearts, lungs, livers could be available for human transplant needs, because unfortunately a lot of people pass away while they're waiting for transplants.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And if you go back to our episode with Sherry Clark, we talked a lot about pigs and you know, just different types of transplants that we could possibly do one day with that. And I think we'd even talked about on that episode whether or not there had been any pig to human transplants, and she had said not at that point. So it's kind of cool that now that there has been.
Now we have one in the US.
Yeah. Had they done them elsewhere outside the US? Do you know?
Nope. This is the first one.
First one ever?
Yep.
All right. Cool.
And I mean, pig heart valves are already used in humans, but not like a fully functioning organ as itself.
Yeah, it's crazy the different technologies. Because didn't you talk about on some other... you talked about some other heart valve thing too that like grows with the patient one time, and they were testing it in sheep for models.
Pediatric. It was a lab made heart valve, like not an animal made.
Yeah, some biosynthetic type. But they were testing it in like sheep or something, and they had put it into lambs, and then as they grew, it grew with them, and they didn't have to undergo more surgeries.
Yeah, which would be amazing for the little kids that have to go through those awful procedures.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right. Well, my next story is not as cool as yours, but one day, it was a couple years ago, I was talking, my son had just asked me what my favorite animal was, and I don't know what I'd said, killer whale or something probably. And
that's your favorite animal?
I said that.
I've known you for a long time, and I never would have guessed that.
I mean, they are pretty fascinating.
Yeah, they are,
but
for sure.
I don't know if I really have... you know, clear cut favorite.
Mm.
But okay, killer whales are pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we all know yours are the naked mole rats.
Well, I was going to say naked mole rats, and I really like wombats.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, back to your water bear tardigrades.
Killer whale will destroy either of those, but you know, that's fine.
Anyways, killer whales actually nice?
When they want to be.
Okay, fair point.
When they can turn the killer mode on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, this, he said his was a water bear, and I had to go look it up. Like, did you know what, like someone told you water bear?
So you know I've heard tardigrade before. I've not seen them referred to as water bears or moss piglets.
Yeah. And a tardigrade, I feel like someone tells me that, like I'm late for school. Or yeah, I've gotten a
bad grade. Grades.
Or both, you know, like, oh, you're late and you're getting a bad grade.
Yep.
So they're also known as moss piglets because they're commonly found in moss. But they're really kind of incredible. They're microscopic for one. I think the biggest ones are like, I don't know, like 1 millimeter or something like that. 1.5 millimeters. So you usually see them microscopically. But they have been found literally everywhere, from volcanoes to like under like extreme pressures, both high and low pressures. They've survived radiation. They've been around when the dinosaurs were around. And they've survived all that, which I mean, maybe isn't super impressive because cockroaches did too. they can go, I mean, forever basically without eating. And they've even survived outer space. So they have been sent to outer space by NASA. So, I mean, I guess really maybe the toughest animal out there. Right?
That's awesome.
So anyways, you're like, how does this relate?
Well, I'm Googling them right now while we're... No, I'm...
Yeah, I hear you clicking around.
Yeah, I'm looking into this.
You're either looking it up or you've like moved on the episode.
No.
And you're like,
well,
what?
I would like to describe them. They remind me of the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland is what they look like to me.
Yeah, they have 8 legs, like a low head, a weird little tail.
Like I feel like he needs a hookah or something, and he could just be Alice in Wonderland caterpillar.
Yeah, or like if you know they're small, but if you look at them and think they're big, it could be like a Jabba the Hutt type thing.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Just sitting back.
They're pretty cool. So these are your son's favorites?
Yeah. At least he had learned about him in school or something. I guarantee you that was like a couple years ago. If I asked him about it now, he'd be like, what?
Well, I think you've challenged yourself this evening at the dinner table to ask him what he remembers about tardigrades.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably say water bears. I'm not sure the tardigrade thing.
Fair point. Yep.
Or moss piglets. Kind of like all the different names for groundhogs. Do you know there's lots of names for groundhogs?
Like woodchuck.
Like woodchuck is one. I never knew woodchuck and groundhogs were related until, I don't know, recently since moving out here to Blacksburg. Lamb beaver.
Okay.
Mouse bear.
Too far-fetched.
Whistle pig.
Nope. Oh, that's funny. That's like Winnie the Pooh with the groundhog that has like the whistle when he talks. I like that one.
Yeah, so lots of names for groundhogs. Woodchucks. So when I see people, when I see one and I'm with people, I'm like, oh, look at that whistle pig. And they're like, what? And I'm like, mouse bear? Still have no idea.
Just being difficult.
Yeah, lamb beaver. And then I'm like, woodchuck? And they sometimes they're like, what? And they're like, groundhog. I'm like, oh. They're everywhere out here. They are rampant. So
we have one that lives under our walnut tree in our backyard.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. I have nothing.
We check on him and give him treats and throw leaves in his hole.
Yeah, I have no problems with the groundhogs. The moles, on the other hand, out. I don't know if you have them where you live, but when I lived out in Virginia Beach area,
yes,
they were everywhere. They'd be cutting the grass.
The dogs,
and you just step in a mole tunnel. Yeah, twist an ankle. It's just
The moles seem to be in like our front yard. I think I'm wondering if like the dogs' bathroom habits keep them out of our backyard, maybe because they're really not that prevalent back there.
I imagine has like Moose or somebody ever gotten one? Because a lot of people's dogs, they'll like stalk them. They'll see them like tunneling, and then I've seen people's dogs that have just they'll grab them.
No, Moose has not.
What's that? That's pretty
good. Never even really tracked them. At least not in the daylight. I don't know what he does at nighttime when we let him out. He just runs around barking. No, that's interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, there is no point in trying to trap the groundhogs and get rid of them, whether it's like the kill traps or not. Like the second you do, a new one's just going to move right into the tunnels. And then they're going to make new tunnels, which will further destroy your yard.
Yep.
From experience. Tried to get rid of them in our yard. Got rid of a couple.
Came back with a vengeance.
And then, because they're solitary animals, they don't let, there's like one in the backyard and one in the front. And when I got rid of them, like a new one came in and then wanted to make its own tunnels rather than like the established one that the other one was using. And then so I had extra, they just made it worse. Anyways.
We've gone way far off topic. And I don't think we finished the water bear conversation.
No, we didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't.
Just checking.
Anyways, that was like our 2 cents. I'm like, hey, if you have mole problem, just let them go. Let them be. That, or you have to dig up your yard and it's crazy. So that's the end of my rant on that. researchers have found a new species of water bear and is fossilized in a hunk of ancient amber. You know, I think of the amber, I just think of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's the first time I ever saw one of those, and there's like a mosquito inside the amber and all that stuff, you know? And then they use it to recreate the dinosaurs or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, because I've seen it took the DNA when it drank the blood.
Yeah, and then they put
the dinosaur.
Something along those lines. We could be way off base if there's any crazy Jurassic Park fans that were just destroying
it. Yeah, you can only hold me accountable to Harry Potter things. I'm not a huge Jurassic Park.
Yeah, we've gone down that road before. Not today.
Right. Not today.
The modern tardigrades, they have 8 legs and also known as the water bears and everything. But considering that the fact that they've been around forever, they don't really have fossils of them, which you're like, why do you need a fossil of a little tiny, giant, microscopic thing? Well, it just kind of helps study, for evolutionary biologists that study how things have evolved over the years. This is just one way to study these animals that have evolved and they have never had a fossil until now. And this one goes back, I think it goes back, I think the tardigrade, evolution goes back, they believe, 66 years. And I think this one is from, 16 years ago. And so if anybody ever goes to the American Museum of Natural History, you can go see this new amber fossil with the tardigrade in it. And I don't know how they're going to display that. I imagine like they have to set up some sort of like screen with a microscope, right? Where you can come up and look at the screen, and but then you can like see it down there. Because otherwise, I mean, you could just call BS on it, right? If it's a piece
they're
of amber
cool.
with nothing there. So they have to have something where you could actually see it. But it is kind of cool looking.
Yeah, I Googled tardigrade. That's all I typed in. And like one of the things versus like people also ask, it says, are tardigrades immortal? And I was like, that sounds funny. So I clicked it. And they actually kind of are. They can become immortal and they can stop their metabolism. And they have been found in an ice sheet 2,000 years ago and came back to life.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're
truly like indestructible.
They're hardy tardigrades.
Hardy tardy. That was dumb.
Yeah.
My gosh. I mean, they have like needle-like claws and I don't know. They seem like pretty cool animals. And it's nice that researchers have kind of found this, you know, amber fossil with it, and they can go and they can study some more about these tardigrades, and maybe we can get some technology out of a tardigrade and use it for ourselves.
I think I'm glad that they're kind of microscopic, because I think if they were huge, they would be a little intimidating.
They'd take over the world.
Yeah.
If they were huge and
as like, indestructible as they are.
And like carnivores. Because if they were bigger, they would eat meat.
Yeah.
Now we're just going back to the turtle story from last month.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's all I've got.
That's what we got.
Yeah. So
I think we probably can even get this episode published in October too.
Yeah, I know. It's been crazy. Life's crazy with rotations and you working and taking care of kids and stuff. So we got done.
And coordinating times with future guests to interview. And it's not been easy to coordinate these things.
Yeah. And back to my presentation that I did too, I wanted to say, what do you think? Is it appropriate? Because my whole presentation was on castration. Mm-hmm. Is it appropriate to keep this presentation for when my daughters start dating? And I could be like, look at how proficient I am to the boyfriends that come to the house.
Oh gosh, that's good. I think what you'd have to do is like, you'd have to be over for like movie night or whatever and like let them start watching their movie, but like find a way to hack into the TV and just like start playing the presentation where you're just like, hello, my name is Jeff Marshall.
Right.
I'm going to talk to you about castration.
Very serious.
I think that would be the best way to deliver the message. Just like totally unexpected, watching a movie on the couch. And then
that's right.
You come on. Your daughter will be mortified and never talk to you again, but the message will be out there.
But I mean, the boy's going to be terrified as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, my daughter will come around eventually.
For sure.
So, the title of it was Cutting and De-Nutting. So that's the title. That's what I submitted. So I won't have to change a thing.
I like that.
It's prepared and ready to go. I was almost going to make it from the standpoint that I was giving this presentation to future boyfriends.
That's awesome.
My daughters. I'm not going to do that. So
speaking of silly titles for projects, when I was in college, I took a African ecology class. But we didn't go to Africa until the end of the semester. So for like the actual semester, we had to like do a project with like, I don't know, observing populations in the, I can't even remember the details of it, but we, I did like turkey populations in my backyard and had to like follow all these, you know, wildlife ecology methodologies and things like that. And my friend slapped her project together, didn't do it, made guesses about squirrels in her neighborhood. And she titled it, How Many Squirrely Nutkins Live in My Neighborhood? And she got like an A, and I got like a C+. And I did the work, and I did the like sitting out there and screening and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, I just left it together because I don't have time for that. And her title was Squirrely Nutkins, and the teacher thought it was hilarious.
Just loved the humor. Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes those things work. I have a similar story. It's crazy. We had to write a 5-page paper, and one of my friends in like 72 size font for one of the pages wrote, this is page 5, or whatever page it was.
Yeah.
And then on another page, he put a giant like picture of just like a person, and he colored it in. So he basically only had like total like 2.5 pages, and he got an A.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's the same thing. Teach the House hilarious. These are the universities that we pay a bunch of money for to go to learn stuff.
Yep.
And the teachers that, you know, are out there responsible for teaching us. So, anyways. All right. Well, that's all I've got. Do you got anything else? Anything exciting you want to talk about?
Not really. Okay. We'll come back with some, maybe we can find some turkey-related articles for November for Thanksgiving or something.
That's right. For sure. I'm going to try to get out turkey hunting if I can.
Nice.
In November. So, all right. Well, it's been fun, everyone. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Follow us on Instagram, and you know the drill. Rate and review our show. We really appreciate it. It helps out a lot. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time. See ya.